Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Amen. How you doing, sister? Amen. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Hello? Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead. Go right ahead. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. I thought Sister Carlita was on already. I thought I was missing her.
Well, I got everybody hooked up now. I got everybody hooked up. Carlita, are you on? Well, let's see. Maybe she's in. Carlita, are you there? Carlita. Carlita. Hello? 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 Amen. Well, I see a lot of people coming on the phone now.
Burden, and I will give you rest.
Go ahead.
Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest." I tell you, we had a blessed time on 2 weeks ago from today. We talked about and we learned about and we shared about loving a man more than that. And, of course, that man being Jesus Christ, and the more than that being the struggles that we seem to make a priority in our lives. And when we learn to refocus our attention on loving Jesus Christ more than the struggle that we put on the top of our list, then we have victory over that struggle. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. And he is our life. And I just want to say welcome again to this program tonight, Mission from the Heart. We will be talking again. I'm Carlita Smith. I will be your host. And I have a guest, a list of hosts that have called in tonight to share with me concerning our topic tonight. And this program, we will be talking about one struggle in particular, and that is, why struggle with worry? Why do we struggle so with worry? And I just want to see if anyone such as myself struggles with worry, maybe to a degree that becomes priority in your life. Some of us struggle with worry, maybe to a small degree, but there are those of us out there who struggle with worry, and we've been labeled a worry wart. And that is not good. So we just want to look at that particular issue in our lives tonight on this program. And I just want to ask those that may want to share and talk with the host tonight, I need to lay down some house rules. And first things first is that to speak with the host, you would hit option number one in order to chime in with me. And when you do speak with the host, please put your phones on mute so that we won't hear the baby crying or the dog or the cat running after the dog or vice versa. We don't want to hear any background noise out of respect for those who are ministering the word of God and sharing with others out there that need to hear from the Lord through us. So if you could do me that, I would appreciate that so much that you would put your phones on mute in order for us to not hear any background noise. Mute them when you are not speaking so that you can continue to listen. And when the Holy Spirit leads you to share or share a verse to solidify why struggle with worry, then you would take your phone off of mute and then you would speak. And when you're done, you would remute your phones. And I just want to lay the house rule in that respect for others on the line who definitely want to receive a rhema word or a nugget from the Lord through those who are ministering tonight to you all who are listening. So those who would like to chime in, please do so at this time, because I do want this to be a message that resonates in your heart. It's a good word. It really is a good word to know why struggling with worry is a sin. And worry is just not something that we should carry around with us. As I opened up our message today or our program today, I read Matthew 11:28, and I will reread it again. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Not mission from the heart, not our parents, not our friends, not our money, not our jobs, not our prestige, not our children, not any of those things that we seem to place value in. But Matthew 11 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's a call. Jesus is saying, come to me, Jesus Christ, all of you, that includes me, who are weary and burdened down, tired mentally, physically, burdened down with the woes of the world, with the stresses in your life, with the anxieties that attack our minds, issues from the left to the right, from the top to the bottom, whatever it may be. And the verse says, I will give you rest. The Lord will give us the rest that we need. And underscoring the word rest, resting in him. So that means we've realigned our attention from what we've put on the priority list, worry. We move it down to the bottom of the list, and we realign our attention to Jesus Christ and his word, his promises, rest in his bosom. Cast your eyes on him. Conform your mind to him. Rest in him, and he will give you peace. He is our peace. So is there any callers tonight that have chimed in to speak with the host? Please make yourself known at this time.
Deborah Johnson.
Good evening, Deborah. How are you?
I am blessed, and yourself?
I am just blessed as well, and I thank God for you calling in tonight to be a part of this of Mission from the Heart program. Deborah and I have been friends for quite a long time. I thank God for you setting aside time to want to share with me in the ministry and the work of Jesus Christ going forth concerning why struggle with worry. Are there any others that want to chime in at this time to be with the host and speak with me and Deborah concerning why struggle with worry? And this is our topic for tonight. It's a topic that we don't like to talk about because we don't want to believe or think or lead anybody to think that we worry or we are a worry wart. And that is not the work of Jesus Christ. Do you agree, Deborah?
Amen. I do agree. I was reading in Luke 10:38-42, and it was speaking about Martha and Mary and how they sat at Mary sat at the Lord's feet. And as Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet, Martha was distracted about all the things that Mary needed to do. And Jesus told her, he said, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary was chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What I'm saying is, in other words, we sometimes take what our priority is. Our priority from the beginning when we chose to be a child of God, we chose God to be in control of our life, over our lives. Then as we grow, as we begin to go and grow, we begin to push him down farther and farther and farther. And then we lose sight, lose focus on our priority. And so as I was reading and I thought about it, I said, God, I've done that many times when I thought I had it all together, and then when something come up, a big deal, or my children are messing up, and I couldn't handle it, and I didn't know what to do. I start worrying, okay, God, what do I do? Who do I go to? And then I would just start doing it myself, and therefore I start pushing God down, and I start listening and start focusing on what I wanted to do. But what it comes down to is that if you're busy and being busy about doing what you think is right, he said, be not concerned of the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you renew your mind in Christ Jesus, you will not be worried. There are many things that make us worry. Jobs, people, as you said, cars. I was reading in Matthew 6:19. So, therefore, set your priorities on God, not money, not man, not your job, not what you drive, not where you live, but on God, because God is who provides life, without which the concern of life are meaningless. The things we think are real big, and nothing to God. Nothing. And so therefore we should set our minds on focus on Christ, on God alone, because he is the provider of our lives. Amen?
Amen. And thank you for sharing, because you're right, Deborah. We do get busy with doing so many things, just as the scripture read in Luke 10, with what Martha thought was more important to her. And so many of us out there, and in today's times with the job and the hustle and bustle of children and our spouses and maybe even some gatherings that are on our agendas, you know, with our tablets and our phones now, keeping schedules. Yeah. And then you're right. These things can lead to worry, and we struggle with financial worry. And that seems to be the biggest struggle amongst most of us, is the lack of. And when we are lack of and the bills start piling in, then that just throws us into overdrive worried. I like worried. I like to say it this way. For those who are listening, worry, there is Mr. and Mrs. Worry, and they have a family, a whole host of family members. And these are some of their family members. Let me just run down some of them to you. And one of the family members of Mr. and Mrs. Worry is anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Another cousin of Mr. and Mrs. Worry is stress. Now, these words aren't anything new to us because we may have experienced them from time to time in this family. And I have to illustrate it like this so it can become so simplistic to understand how easy it is to make worry to become a head of the house, if you will, and then it starts birthing all of these other family members, anxiety, stress. Your body is going into pains that may not really be there, but you experiencing something in the body, along with some other things. Does anybody else have a share or a scripture, just as Deborah did in Matthew 6:19 and Luke 10:38, that will help us understand as well how our priority are out of line and how we need to restructure our priorities just as Mary did and sat at Jesus' feet? Because those, that was the priority in her life. Does anybody else have a verse or a scripture that may help others out here tonight understand why struggling with worry is not good? Is there anyone else? And if not, that's okay, because we're going to continue to go on.
Hello?
Help. Yes. And this is?
Zamari.
Good evening, Zamari. Thank you for calling. And go right ahead.
There's this verse in the Bible that the Lord had brought to me. And I'm looking through it right now, and I have to get myself more familiar with this Bible, but it's in the King James Version. I'm going to quote what it says because I remember what the verse says. And it can either be found in Micah or Malachi, out of those two ones. But it says, "Why does thy cry out aloud? Does not the King live in thee?" And, you know, when we're going through worry and we're crying, well, I was crying and going through the things, and then I seen that scripture, and it says, "Why are you crying out aloud? Does not the King live in thee?" God lives in all of us. And the question was asked, he asked the person, "Why are you crying out aloud? Does not the King live in thee?" You know, like, when you think about that and just let that resonate in your spirit, some type of revelation should come out of that. And it just helps me, because I'm somebody who was labeled as a worry wart so much to where my hair fell out and my teeth started to chip. So, and I had got diagnosed with pulmonary artery hypertension, which is something that arteries around your heart will get enlarged and you can die from that. So worry can literally kill you. And it's really absolutely pointless. Because what is ever meant for you to have, it's yours. God does not take anything away because of anything that you do. And the sun comes in the morning. So whatever you're going through, you know, get the good from it.
Amen. And go right ahead.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's Micah 4:9 is what Zamari. Yes, Micah 4:9. And yes, as she indicated, when we worry and struggle with worrying, and triggers take place in our life to cause word to come upon us, and we lose sight, it just does a domino effect on the body. As I indicated, it starts creating its own family, if you will. Stress, anxiety, pains in the body, as Zamari had expressed. And this is not what Jesus wants us to experience. And these works of worry are from the father of lies. And we know him as Satan. So now the choice is ours. We can continue to be a worry wart, if you will, or struggler of worrying, or we can flip the script on this and become a warrior, if you will, W-O-R-R, is I-E-R, or correct me if I misspelled it, but a Christ warrior, a soldier for Christ, and that we've overcome these struggles and believing by faith and resting in Jesus Christ, the Word of God. We can't experience the Lord. We can't experience his glory. We can't experience his love and his provisions, his healing, if we don't rest. And worry does not bring about rest. Am I correct, Zamari? Well,
you are very much so correct. I have my phone on mute.
Yes, and that's okay. And so you said that you did not find rest. The body just kind of took another turn, and it...
Oh, yeah. It definitely got progressively worse when I was at that stage in my life where it went from just my hair falling out to my teeth getting... Your teeth are strong. Your teeth last. When you're dead, your teeth are the identifiers of who you are. So if you're worrying so much where your teeth started to chip away and things like that, you got some serious problems going on. And it just went from my teeth down to pulmonary artery hypertension, which now I've been delivered from all that, praise God, because I've learned that, just let it go. But it really does, on your health, it just diminishes you at a rapid pace.
So as Deborah indicated earlier, worry became a priority in Martha's schedule of events and not her sister, Mary, and that's the solution. And Zamari shared that when she worried, her physical body went down. And she just testified that her solution was turned her attention toward Jesus Christ. Is there any other situations that those who may have wanted to share tonight or share a verse tonight, don't hesitate to give me a call, because, again, there are so many of us that struggle with worry. And we want to help those out there tonight how not to struggle with worry. And it's the enemy's way to keep us in bondage, to keep us bound up, locked up in the mind. And then we start doing things that are contrary to with what we know Scripture teaches. And for those that don't know Scripture, he wants you to come and know him by surrendering that struggle of worry to Jesus. Turn it over to him. There's a song that I used to sing in the choir at the church I attend, and it's a little song that says, and Deborah, you might be able to help me, and some of you out there listening tonight may even know this song. And it goes a little like this. I'm not going to sing it, but I'll just ring it out there. And it's, turn it over to Jesus. He will work it out. Turn it over to Jesus. He will work it out. Now, that's all I know. But even just praising him in that simple little song will bring a peace about a person in the heart, in the mind, a song such as that, short and simple and sweet. But even the movie Lion King talked about worry. If any of you out there saw the movie Lion King, the very first one that came out, the two characters in a song in the movie talk or sing this jingle about worry. And they came up with this word. Now, I don't know how true the word is, but they said Hakuna Matata. And that was revealed to me today as I was working at my office. And I said, Hakuna Matata. Now, I don't know what it means, but I remember the scene in the movie Lion King, and it's animated. And when they said the word Hakuna Matata, it says, it means don't worry for the rest of your days. Hakuna Matata means don't worry for the rest of your days. It's my problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata. Now, that brought me a joy. Now, is that biblical? I believe a portion of it is. But even something as simple and juvenile as that, it brought a peace upon my heart to know that I'm at work today. I'm not going to let anything worry me today. I'm going to say no to this and that, and I'm going to sing and praise and worship the Lord today. Now, that was my choice. And worry will allow you to stay focused on the family members, anxiety, stress, body deteriorating. Worry is a weapon from Satan. He sets up in our minds to become worry wards. Then he's labeled us. And that's not something we want to be labeled. Do I have any other verses that can be shared this evening for others to understand that this is what the Bible says? Now we're going to refocus our attention on away from the struggle, but away from the struggle, but to the solution.
It says, this is Deborah again.
Yes, if Deborah, go right ahead.
Okay, in 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says, cast your cares upon Jesus because he cares for you. The practice of believers is to take our worries to Jesus in prayer and leave them with him. This reinforces our dependence on faith in Jesus. My God. Cast all your cares. What are you worrying about? What are you really worrying about? There is a creator. My God. There's a one that he is in control of everything. You have no reason to worry. He said, well, I care for you. But he didn't care for you. He would not. Our sins were paid for by Christ being nailed to the cross. So what are we worrying for? Love covers a multitude of sins, glory to God. And so when we hear that word, we should understand why are we worrying? But where is our faith? Where is our faith? Whose report do we believe? And if we believe in God, because, you know, as you said, worry causes all kind of problems, mental problems, ulcers, all kind of physical problems. It'll even shorten your life. It will kill you because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not just mentally, not just spiritually, but physically. Glory to God. Whatever it is he wants, he'll take it because you've given him the power. And how dare you to give the power to something that is nothing to you? He says you have power to step on the scorpions and the serpents. Come on.
Amen.
For those that are listening, cast your cares upon God because he cares for you. Because he believes and he knows everyone, everything that's going on in your life. He knows your words. He knows your problems. He knows there is a stitch of hair in your head. So if he knows that, don't you know he knows all the rest? Because let he preordained you before you was even in your mother's womb, glory to God. So he's called you to be perceptive to his calling, not yours. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I can tell that this is something that we have to deal with on a individual basis. And as we continue in the program on why struggle with worry, and I believe the topic is so fitting because just as Deborah said, according to 1 Peter 5 and 7, why, when the solution to the why struggle with worry is casting all your anxieties, your worries on him because he cares for you. So there's no reason to worry about anything. And Deborah put it very plainly. Jesus is the answer to our problems. Through his word, he brings peace. Through his scriptures, he brings joy. Through his word, he brings you blessings in such an abundance that they're too much for you to contain. So thank you, Deborah, for that word, that 1 Peter 5 and 7. Now, we have heard from Matthew 6, verse 19, Luke 10, starting at verse 38, and then we've heard from Micah 4, chapter 4, verse 9, and 1 Peter 5 and 7. Now, those who struggle with worry, those verses, that's your answer. That's the solution, those verses, and many more. If you want to become less of a worrywart and more of a warrior, then you have to flip it around and get in the Word of God. And before you get into the Word of God, surrender to him and let him know that you are a person who struggles with worry. And this is just one out of many, but we're focusing on worry tonight. Are there any others that have called in tonight with the host that want to be a part of sharing to those out there across the world on this program, Mission from the Heart, to help them come to a peace in their life concerning worry and how struggling is not necessary if you would just, as it says, cast all your cares or your anxieties or your worries on him because Jesus cares for you. Any others there would like to share?
Can I just add my thoughts?
Yes, go right ahead.
As regard to the worrying, there's different kind of degrees of worrying, like, you know, and some of it comes from maybe the Jezebel spirit, which was a controlling spirit, and our desire to want to control every aspect of our life. And it's not designed that way. And with that understanding, I've come to a lot of peace with the whole worrying thing, because if it's not that you have a lackadaisical attitude and you don't care attitude, but the fact that you just are not in that much control over your life because you are not your own person. And that is surrendering and making yourself a sacrifice to the Lord. Because if you're doing anything other than that, you're just causing turmoil and problems and chaos for your own self. You can't have, because Jezebel wasn't a prostitute. She was a controlling person. And just letting go of that spirit will give you freedom.
Hello?
Yes. And we are, and thank you, Zamari, for that. Because, yes, having a controlling issue or a controlling spirit, and that will bring about worry as well, because we want everything our way and we want to have it done this way or that way. But focusing on how it can bring about worry, how, and realizing that I am not my own. I'm not my own. I'm here for a purpose, and the Lord wants us to understand that. But when we want to have that worry or a struggle that may be on top priority of your list, then you won't come to that understanding as to what God has for you. So, amen to that, because
Hello.
We are here for Jesus Christ. Yes, Marcia, we hear you.
Oh, I'm
Hello?
Sorry. I didn't know if I was on or not.
Yes, if you could put your phone on mute. For us.
Okay.
Yes, so we won't have any background noise. And for those of you who have just tuned in or just called in, please make sure that your phones are on mute so that we won't have any background noise, out of respect for others who are listening for a word from God tonight concerning this particular issue called worry. So we're going to continue to go on, and tonight we are discussing why struggle with worry. Is there another verse out there that someone would love to share that would help solidify, bring additional understanding for someone who is struggling with worry? Now, we've had 1 Peter 5 and 7, and if you would, make note of these verses. And if you're not a person who struggles with worry, you may know somebody who does. And these verses will help them to come to better understand that this should not be a part of our lives, worrying to the degree to where it becomes priority. Some things we do have a little worry about, but we need to recognize the fact that we are in that mode, and we need to realign our attention on Jesus Christ and what his promises say in these verses, Matthew 6, 19, Luke 10, 38, concerning Mary and Martha, and Micah 4, 9, 1 Peter 5, and 7. And I'm just asking those who may have called in to share verses that would help those out there who are listening tonight concerning worry being a struggle in your life. So are there any others there out there that that want to share a verse? Please go ahead and chime in. Okay, well, I'm going to continue to go. Listen to Luke 12, verse 25. It says this, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" So if we are worrying about the things of today or tomorrow,
or that bill that is unpaid, or whether or not things are going to turn out right, situations that come about in our lives that bring about worry. You're shortening your lifespan because of, just as Deborah and Zamari shared, priorities being an issue, and Zamari shared concerning her physical body. These things are real, and these things happen. And when we look at that, when we're being anxious, we can't add anything to the day. There's only 24 hours in the day. We can't add anything to our lives. So the only solution that I know to do, and I have done this and I practice this, is to just surrender it all to the one who can and who has created the day. And that's God the Creator. Lord, you take over this situation. Lord, I don't know how to rectify this. I can't do it in my strength. I don't have the strength to deal with this today. Lord, talk it out with him. Cast your cares upon him. Cast your worries upon him. He's the one that can carry them for you, and he's the fixer of those problems. Nothing too big for God. And I like what it says in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Now, chime in for those who are listening, please. There are so many promises in the Bible that solidify why we should not struggle with worry.
Wow.
And we should not give the enemy any string to pull us along with. We need to cut that. And the way we cut that string is when we cast our cares upon the Lord, rest in his bosom, saturate yourself in his word, sing unto the Lord a new song, and surrender it to him. And call it what it is, and allow it not to become a part of your life. Does anybody else have a testimony or a word to those out here who are listening tonight concerning worry before we close out our program?
Yes, Colleen. This is Dr. McClennan. I just want to share this word in Psalms 37, 8, and 9, the Bible talks about how God, how we can reveal a lack of faith in God's control. Because a lot of times people get angry, they get worried, and the Bible says, "Fret not thyself." He says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil," because when people get worried, angry, upset, then they start thinking of other things, and it causes us to forfeit peace with God, and then we begin to think of things, and we begin to worry. So we don't have to worry, because God said that he would take care of us. And in Matthew 10, 19, and 20, the Holy Spirit will help you if you worry. You don't have to worry. You have to go and ask the Holy Spirit to help you not to worry, and he will begin to help you, because worry keeps your focus off of God. It keeps you from actually hearing from God with your spirit. It keeps you from hearing from God. So worry is just a distraction. It's a distraction to keep you in a slave state that you're in. And so I just want people to know that we don't have to worry, because we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when we call upon the Holy Spirit and ask him to relieve us of this thing that is worrying us, he will do that for us, because God don't want us worried. He don't want us worried. So I just want to share that with people, to let them know the Holy Spirit is available. God sent the Comforter, and he's available to us.
Amen. And I thank you. Amen. Thank you for sharing those verses. Psalm 37, verse 38. I mean, 37, 89. or which what was that that you said? Psalms 37?
7. 8 and
8 and 9.
Matthew 10, 19, and 20.
Okay, Psalms 37, verse 8, correct?
And 9, yes.
And 9. So these are, and amen, and this is Dr.
Simmons.
Thank you so much for sharing tonight, and thank you for being on the program. I tell you, you are so right. Those of us who have confessed that we are a sinner and that we have accepted Jesus as our Savior and that he now lives inside of us and we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us and we don't grieve the Holy Spirit and we yield the Holy Spirit, then yes, worry will become a distraction that the enemy tries to use to keep us from carrying out the word of God and the work of God. But for the man who knows not the Lord and who wants to become a Christ follower, then this is a prayer and that you should repeat after me, that you will know him for yourself, and that capital H-I-M, so that these scriptures will resonate in your heart, that you will overcome worry. And then it becomes not a priority, but it becomes non-existent in your life. As the doctor said, it becomes a distraction. And the word of God in Matthew 10, 19, and 20, and as she said in Psalm 37, this is the medicine for the struggle, worry. Rid ourselves of that. So I want to pray a prayer of salvation for those who may be listening tonight to the program, who have called in, those who are on the out there in different parts of the world. Pray with me and just say these words, just as simple as that. He knows your heart. God knows the heart of a man. And if you are genuine in your prayer, then he will receive you and you can receive him or experience him. So just repeat after me before we close out our program, Mission from the Heart. Lord God, I am a sinner. I come to you tonight with lifted hands, saying that I am so sorry, Lord, that I surrender all my worries to you. Lord, I want you to take a hold of my life and become my God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe by faith, Lord, that you died on that cross for me, that I would have life eternal with you. Lord, I surrender it all to thee. Please, Lord, clean me up. I want to be a part of a family, and your family is who I want to be a part of. Lord, I love you. I believe by faith, Lord, that you are God, Almighty God. I trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And I hope that you prayed that tonight out there. Someone became a believer in Christ Jesus tonight, someone listening tonight, someone who struggled with worry tonight, and someone who wants to be a part of a family that knows that God is our conqueror of every struggle in our life, is his promise. We've heard promises tonight from Matthew 6 and 19, Luke 10, 38, Micah 4 and 9, 1 Peter 5 and 7, Psalms 37, 8 through 9, and Matthew 10, 19 and 20. These are just a few out of many.
Get yourself into a Bible-believing church. Spend time with the Lord, becoming renewed. Praise the Lord that you've prayed and wanted to be a family, wanted to be a part of the family of believers. And I just thank you for tuning in tonight. And now I'm going to turn this portion of the program over to Marcia, who will be stating words for inspiring. Marcia, are you there? Marcia Loggins? Well, she may not be, but I'm going to go ahead and say thank you for tuning in tonight to Mission from the Heart, and I just want to thank all of those who thought it not robbery to call in and be a minister to all of those who are listening tonight concerning why struggle with worry. We have had some awesome sharing moments and some powerful scriptures that went forth to help somebody out there with the issue of worry. For this is not of God, and he has given us the solution to worry. The solution to worry is prayer. So I just want to say thank you. Our next program will be airing on February 27th, the last Thursday of the month, and this will be another issue that we would be discussing on Mission from the Heart, and it's going to be on the topic of gossip. And so many of us out there struggle with that. But again, I thank you for listening and tuning in, and I pray and hope that you will tune in again with us on the 27th of February, the last Thursday of the month. If you want to speak with me, this is Carnita Smith, your host for Mission from the Heart. You can reach me by phone, 832-291-6955, or you can email me at carnita@hearttoheart.houston, and that's carnita@heart2heart.org, or you can go to the website, Heart to Heart Houston, www.hearttoheartshouston.org. And you can locate me there, and we will pray for you, and we will encourage you, and we will continue to pray for you as you walk your journey being a believer in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much for tuning in to Mission from the Heart.
Amen.
Good night. Carl Fred, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
You go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead. You're on the air.
All right. Well, I'd just like to welcome any callers or any ears to the to this wonderful ministry. You heard before this one, you've heard my sister, Carnita Smith, with the Heart to Heart Ministry for Women. And it's just an awesome ministry. And what she was segueing right into what we're going to be talking about tonight on the next hour of the portion of the show. And my name is Carl Fred Giles, and I'm with Child of God Ministry Concepts. And what Child of God does is we help ministries with their God-given vision. Simple that. Whatever it is that you're trying to do for the Lord, whatever our talents and our skill sets can do to help you do effective ministry. And it's at childofgodmc.com. And you can reach me anytime. I'll give all that information at the end of the hour. But right now, I would like to just say welcome and say hello out there to the Blog Talk world, and also just say, you know, praise God for just being able to have a voice and to share God's word with you in this time of need. Heart to Heart Ministry of Ministry for Women, their subject area before we moved right into this one was struggle, struggling with worry. And, that is just an awesome topic as to discuss with Christians, and we're going to move right into that and ask men out there, simply worrying. You know, the Bible says to worry about nothing and pray about everything. But and just like they were saying, we don't have that. We don't have to worry. We're concerned. You know, we're concerned about different things, and we're taking responsibility of these things. But we don't have to really just worry. And another way of worrying, another term for worrying, is called anxiety. We as men, you know, we have to work on that. And, worrying and anxiety are pretty much part of the same issues. And if you look in the Bible, and I think my sister wrapped up some wonderful scriptures, and I took some notes as I was sitting there listening as well. And I'd just like to share a couple of scriptures as well on that same topic of worrying. Why do men have to worry as well? Why do we have to have anxieties? Why do, look at things and always are trying to quick to fix things, you see? Sometimes our wives will come to us with issues or questions and not have to look at us trying to fix things so much. They just want us to listen. But we men always get into fix-it mode, and we want to, you know, just try to fix things, because that's what our DNA in us is to do, is to fix it. But we need to listen more and not worry about a situation. And think what I tell my wife a lot is, you know, baby, if I'm worried, then you need to worry. But if I'm not worried, I don't want you to even be concerned about anything. And I don't know if this scripture came up, but I looked at Matthew 6:34, and it says, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. And each day has enough trouble of its own." So what that tells me is that, you know, do not worry. Why even concern yourself about worrying men? You know, because we're on this earth for a short time. And we can do so much with things that we have before us. And that's why God wants us to put him first, because he's going to be that foundation. And anything that you build on that foundation is going to stand. And if you build your foundation on sinking sand, it's going to sink. So we have to know, and we have to be mindful of the power of God and his word and the power of Jesus Christ to know that to cast all your anxieties and worries on the Lord. That's it. It sounds hard. I mean, it doesn't sound hard. It sounds simple, but it is oh so hard. Because we as men always try to fix things. We always try to take care of things ourselves. Oh, I got a $1,000 bill. Oh, let me go out here and try to sell something to make the money so that I can take care of the bill, when God probably already has a door opened in our favor. And we just have to wait, and it will just fall right into our lap when we pray to him and give him our anxieties and our worries. And if anyone has any questions or, you know, any thought-provoking thoughts on this God's beautiful word, please feel free to chime right in. The lines are open. My heart is open, and I'm always willing to, you know, get another viewpoint of God's word, because there is no division in God's word. We're here to rightly divide it and then agree. And then we can even agree to disagree on things. But God is not a God of confusion, and he's not a God of, you know, just having turmoil in the camp. You know, we're all going to be as one, so we might as well get on one accord and know that you have the peace of Christ. As in John 14:27 says, "Peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So we have the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ to know that worry is not part of our DNA, our makeup. We do it by habit. But we have to break free of that stronghold upon us, and it hinders our growth, because then we're always trying to fix things. And that, like, and then there's Proverbs, you know, anxiety weighs down the heart. Proverbs 12:25, but a kind word cheers it up. So if someone is worried, or if you know a brother out there who's going through a situation and he needs some help, this is where a kind word will cheer him up. "Hey, my brother, you know, I'm praying for you. I really want to lift you up in prayer. I want to just let you know that just hang in there, because your breakthrough is just right around the corner." Because usually when we worry about things, we almost want to give up, because we don't know which way to go. We don't know who to talk to. We're just sitting there rubbing our head. Okay? And those things are things that will keep you down. They will weigh heavy on your heart. And another saint will see that, and they'll know something is troubling your spirit. You know, their spirit is troubled. So that's why it's in us to, as Christians, to serve one another by giving them kind words and to cheer them up. And there's another scripture I'd like to share on that same viewpoint, and then I'm going to segue right into, you know, another subject area that I think is really something that we all need to be aware of, and especially, you know, the men. And I hold men to a great responsibility, because we are the head and of our household, and we have to know about a lot of things and do a lot of things. But we come together as one when we are with our wives, and we're a team. But let me finish this one right here, and this last scripture is Matthew 6:27-29. What do you gain by worrying? You can call all your worries, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. So that scripture should empower you for all you worrying souls out there, or have, you know, or experiencing these things where you tend to want to not waste time, but you know, when you're worrying, you are using some muscle movement as well and some thoughts as well when you're using that. It's an exercise pretty much. It's just like thinking. When you're thinking about creative and how to draw beautiful paintings, that same strength it takes, you're taking away by worrying about an issue or finances or anything that you have no control over. Because if you give it to the Lord, he's going to work it out in your favor and in his time. You see, because God doesn't understand time, because he is time. And we always want to put a time to different things because we have the clock to measure. This is how long it takes to cook an egg. This is how long it takes to, you know, go to work. It takes me this long to drive. When truly, God doesn't care about time. Because he created time. He is time. And that's why we have no reason to worry, because if God can clothe the lilies of the field, then surely he can take care of his loved ones, those he truly loves, which is us. The only species on this planet that has the ability to be godlike, because we have the ability to make a choice. You either choose right or you choose wrong. You know, there is no in-between. A lot of us, we always want to, you know, try to straddle that fence, but you cannot serve two masters. And that's why God wants 100% of you. He doesn't want you to worry about nothing, be anxious for nothing, because anxiety weighs down the heart. You know, but put all your trust in the Lord, because Psalms 118 and 8, which is said to be, you know, an analogy of being the center of God's word. Psalms 118 and 8 says to put all your trust and faith in the Lord. And it's better to put, should I say, it's better to put your take refuge in the Lord and not put any trust in man or in people. And there's different translations of the Bible that has different words in it. So whatever the version of the Bible that you're reading, you know, I like to come as much as I can from the King James Version, but I also use the NIV or the ESV, English Standard Version. Whatever your version, just make sure you stay with it and just rightly divide that word and look at other versions, because one word can throw a scripture off completely by changing the words in. That's why you have to look at all the meanings of the words, read your commentaries, and just really get in there, and God will show you through his word a wonderful life of wisdom and knowledge and guidance for your life. So you don't have to worry, because it says put your trust in man, because you don't want to take refuge in another man, because a man is going to fail you. He always does. We fail each other. That's why we're always working on ourselves, so that we can be better to serve another man and also to serve God. Are there anyone has any questions out there, any comments, or any just like to touch some notes on some of these scriptures that I just alluded to?
Yes, I do. I'm reading in, and I'm glad that you made mention, brother, of the different translations. And this is one in particular that I love to read. It's the CEV, Contemporary mm-hmm. English Version, and it ministers to my heart. And in Psalms 118, you indicated verse 8, which is very fitting, but I wanted to back it up to verse 5. In this particular translation, Psalms 118, verse 5, reads mm-hmm. this way, and I tell you, it struck me. It reads this way: when I was really hurting,
mm-hmm.
I prayed to the Lord. He answered my prayer and took my worries away.
Oh.
The Lord
Amen.
Is on my side, verse 6, and I am not afraid of what others can do to me. With the Lord on my side, I will defeat all of my hateful enemies. It is better to trust the Lord for protection than to trust anyone else, including strong leaders. And that
That's
goes
right.
into with what you said in verse 8, that it is better to trust the Lord for our protection or for whatever may be the problem going on in our lives that bring about worry, than to trust any man or anyone else in this particular translation. So, yes, I you're right in saying on how we are to trust the Lord, and I believe it was just so fitting for me when it said, when I was really hurting, I prayed to the Lord. He heard my prayer. He answered my prayer and took my worries away. That's a promise to me. So when
That's
we
right.
do, when we do that, and I have done that, I just experienced a situation this past week concerning my brother, who
yeah.
went into they were going to do surgery, and he experienced what we thought a mild heart attack or a asthma attack, and
mm-hmm.
he had to suddenly be rushed to the hospital. And so, of course, what rose up inside my mind, inside my body, the heart started beating, the mind started going from the left to the right, and all types of thoughts came to the mind, and worry sat in for a while. And it wasn't until I refocused my attention on what God promised when I prayed. And when me and my brother prayed that night for our brother who was in the hospital, God
Amen.
did a wonderful move in his life in that hospital room. Now, today, he walked out of the hospital. He was in ICU on Monday night. On Thursday night, he is walking out of that hospital, and he is now at home.
Amen.
And so I thank God for the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous that availeth much. So he's not a God that lies. So
that's right.
I thank God for his promises, and the worry just goes away. So thank you for that, that verse, Psalms 18. It's a beautiful passage of
absolutely. Absolutely.
Mercy.
Psalms 118 and 8 was a, well, in that particular Psalms, that's where David is writing, and he's just crying out. You know, he's just letting, you know, his treasury know, because he called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set him in a large place. And he lets the Lord know that he's on my side. I will not fear. What can a man do unto me? And you are so right, Kenita, and I thank God for the miraculous healing, should I say, on our brother, because, you know, usually when you hear news like that of a loved one, and we all are going to go through it, every last one of us who can hear the sound of my voice is going to go through sitting on that pew of a loved one they lost, or going to a hospital for a loved one who is down on their back, you see, and You immediately must start praying. Don't do nothing else. You know, you can call and find out, but immediately start praying over that person's body. Even on the phone, in your prayer closet, wherever. Prayer is the answer to everything. All things. Worry about nothing and pray about everything was what my mentor shared with me years ago, and I've always upheld to that. And that's why I love that particular passage in David's Psalms 118 and 8, because all that before that and a little bit after that, it talks about not putting no trust in no prince and no king in anything. It's better to trust in the Lord, to put confidence in man, to put confidence in princes, to put confidence in anything, because the Lord is our strength and our song, and he has become our salvation. There's nothing we can't do without God, and that's why I know when we don't worry, you know, we take that out of our thinking and our thought processes and use and change it. I change worry to, I'm just going to be concerned. I'm just going to think about it. I'm just going to let God know that, hey, I see it, I hear it, okay, but I'm not going to recognize it, especially if it's something that I know God can handle, and that's everything, you see. Anything out of our control, or should I say my own, using my own living testimony, because here, you know, I must share with the world God's power and his favor on our lives, because here I am. I left my job at the TV station in October, and then my wife got laid off in December 31st. And God has been providing for us since right now. He's still providing. He's still sovereign. And that's how God works. He doesn't, you don't need, you know, if you put your trust in him, you know, a job, hey, he'll take care of the bills. He'll take care, and he comes right on time. And if I sit here and worry about that and worry about all this stuff that I'm in charge over, I can't handle it. But he can. And when he shows up, man, I just praise him. When he shows up and my wife sees a manifestation of his blessings to pay our bills and to keep food on the table and to keep gas in the car so I can go out here and still do what we need to do, that's him. That's all God. Because there's no way in the world any man can not do anything without him. There's no way. If you really look at why we worry because it's part of being out of control. And no one likes to be out of control. But when you know what it feels like to be truly out of control, that's when God takes control, you see, and he shows you the way to go and which path you need to take, because it's going to be crystal clear to you. The path that you want to take is going to be, it's going to be jacked up, just for lack of a better word. It's going to be bumpy. That valley is going to be hard because you're making a choice to not choose what God wants you to have. And then God will take you down a path that's bumpy just to get you ready for something else that he knows you can handle, because he's not going to bring you to it if he's not going to bring you through it. And that's why we have to know that in our distress, we cry out to the Lord. In our pain, we cry out to the Lord. In our sorrows, we cry out to the Lord. In our worrying, when we're troubled, when we're waiting impatiently, when we're, you know, hearing other voices, when we are afraid, when we see division, we trust in the Lord, and we give him, and we cry out to him. And crying out means we pray. Because God already knows what's in your heart. He already knows exactly what you're going to say. But he wants to hear you say it. And that's why God needs men of God to speak his word. Because in the word, it says that let those who, you know, hear the word, you know, obey, and those who don't, they, you know, woe be to them. But blessed are the feet of the man who delivers God's word, or who preaches God's word. And that's why I do know that not worrying about things and just taking and looking at things for what they are and not focusing on those but looking through them. What does God want you to learn from that situation? What is he showing me? What is he teaching me? What is he trying to, you know, keep me cautious of? And you just have to wait and just, you know, listen from God in prayer, in your quiet time, and the Holy Spirit will show up and take your prayers from you to Jesus. And that's why we pray to the God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Now, I do know that if a man to truly be blessed, and being a man, we have to watch what we do, what we say, who we hang out with, and you can't sit among other people who are caught up in their own demises or their own worries or their own things that are keeping them hindered. We have to pray for them. We have to encourage ourselves as well as encourage others and lift them up. Because truly the blessed man is the one who's not going to, you know, be in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And we meditate on that law day and night. And that's why I love the Psalms, because it keeps you on fire for God's word. And that's why God loved David, because David was, you know, I would love to be a tenth of David, because I'm loving to be after God's heart as well. David danced out of his clothes. You name it, he did it. Now was he a saint? No. David had some issues he had to deal with as well, and God chastened him, okay? You know, he'll whoop you, but he's going to love on you as well, and that's why his lineage, you know, the Prince of Peace came through David's lineage, because he was already blessed. You see. So we're loving on him. We're not going to worry. And the other thing I'd like to talk about for the, you know, if anyone doesn't have any other questions on why we shouldn't worry, as men and how to, you know, walk boldly to the throne of grace and God's mercy and grace, to know that we have to worry about nothing and pray about everything. And then the other next, this next portion of our show, I would like to talk about men and this four-letter word I hear a lot of. Now, there's a lot of four-letter words out there, and I know, you know, there's some that are not inappropriate and some important. Now, the one that's coming up here for tomorrow is the one called love, okay? And I think I'm going to save that one. The four-letter word I like to talk about or to open up for discussion is fear and how you can overcome your fear. Because it's a good segue, because when you're worried, you're a little afraid as well, because you're a little frightened or you might be a little dismayed, you see, and you're fearful of something, of the unknown. And that's what I was talking about, Kaneda, was about control. You know, we as a people like to be in control. Everybody wants to be in control. When you're at work and you're a manager, I'm controlling my people because they got to be there on time. Or a pastor of his church, he wants to control, you know, everything so that, you know, whatever his mission or the vision of the church will go forward, okay? A bigger company, a CEO, wants to be in control. You know, everyone wants, you know, they like that level of control. And when they don't have that, that's when they're uncomfortable. You know, you're uncomfortable when you're not in control. But when you are a child of God, you don't even care about control, because you know who is in control and whom is in control. And it's all God. So when you know that simple little equation right there, you're able to be at peace with yourself. You're able to be at peace with things that happen around you. And you're able to be at peace with others, even if they come to you in a negative way. Because that's where we as Christians, we're not trying to recognize negativity. You know, that's not love. And that's another... That's a wonderful four-letter word. We should, you know, I'll talk about our next time. But fear is where I want to go, because in Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
That is truly powerful. I mean, words, see, let's just break down the Bible, B-I-B-L-E. And that simply means basic instruction before leaving earth. Basic instruction before leaving earth, Bible. Okay? This is what we are to be putting in our hearts. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. Keep it in your heart. And if it's in your heart, it's going to be in your mind as well, because what you love the most, you're going to talk about the most. What you love the most, you're going to think about the most. What you love the most, you're going to tell others about. I love my wife, so I tell everybody, hey, my wife this, my wife that, I mean my kids, whatever I love, I tell others. And I always ask God to give me an opportunity to minister to someone or tell them about you. You see, because that's what he wants. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need nothing from us. He wants us, and he wants our time, and he really wants our voice. So we don't have to be afraid, okay? And if fear is causing you to hide from somebody today or your boss, your husband or your wife, you know, your grouchy coworker, or, you know, like when God asked Adam, "Where are you?" And he replied, I hid because I was afraid. In Genesis. I think that was Genesis chapter 3. And then we've been hiding from things ever since. We hide behind forced smiles. You know, we hide about agreeable words that we don't mean. You know, in social rituals we detest. You know, because of overcoming our fear. Or worse, we hide behind things we don't even, that we do believe but don't express because we are afraid of what others might think. So it may be even easier to act if things don't even bother you or pretend to agree when in reality you disagree. But I do know that, for example, when we don't speak to people about things, you know, the fear, you know, the fear that we're making waves or we'll end up resentful or alienated from our, you know, coworkers or even people at church, you see. And that's why, you know, church has some of the, you know, there's still sinners there as well, you know, because we're not all perfect. We don't have it all together. Now, we like to be around a body of believers so we can all fellowship and worship God as one and praise him. But when service is over and we're all going to our homes, we tend to go back to these little ruts we get in, you know, these little things. And that's why we don't have to be afraid of that, because we are forgiven of sins past, present, and future. And if there's anyone out there who is afraid or wrestling with fear or fear of not sharing something with someone or fear of sharing their faith or being afraid or being ridiculed, you know, or we lose an opportunity to bring hope to someone who really needs it. So, you know, when you if you feel you're afraid or you have fear, just, you know, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you, Lord. If I'm, you know, I got, you know, if I feel fear or I feel anxieties in me or I worried about something, I'm going to put my trust in you, Lord. And you read scriptures, okay? If you, you always go into your word. Everyone has a smartphone now. We're using this great technology, and God's word is still the number one bestseller, the Bible, the number one download, YouVersion. The Bible is still number one. It can be written. It can be digital. No matter which one you want to make it, the basic instruction before leaving Earth is going to always be number one, no matter what. So that's why we have the best. We have the best in God's word. And if you look at that word, just a word, when you speak a word into somebody's their spirit, because they're either afraid of something or they're worried about something or they need encouragement or they just need a little love or a little gentleness or a little steadfastness or even instruction. You even do that in love. You fight all of that with that other four-letter word, and that's love. You defeat fear, that four-letter word, with love, that four-letter word. Because love conquers all. And in 1 Timothy 6 and 11, it says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." And that's what these things are we are to pursue, because God's word is that, because no one at the sound of my voice is going to get into heaven with hate in your heart. No way. God is not going to allow that. That's why you have to forgive others and forgive yourself and move on in your life knowing that God, Son, forgave you by dying on the cross and rising again to show you that his power, that he is in control of everything. Everything. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's what we are to do as men. That's why men, we should not be afraid of nothing, okay? Because the only thing a man can do to you is kill you, and that's even going to get you closer to your Lord and Savior. Absent from the body, immediately present with the Lord. So all tonight we talked about worry, we talked about being afraid, overcoming your fears, you know, and putting your trust in the Lord. Don't worry about anything. Do not be dismayed. Do not be frightened. Be strong and courageous, because that's what God commanded us to do. He has commanded us to be strong and courageous, fight for what you believe is right in God's word, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And these things that we know, because if it's in the word, God's word, then I believe it. I trust it. I have to. Because if I'm going to walk with Christ, if you're going to be a believer of Jesus Christ, all he's going to ask you to do is come with me. Follow me. And we are followers. And we have the best leader. Matter of fact, there's three of them, but they're just one. Okay? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity in one. I mean, it's magnificent. It's dunamis power. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's everything. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. I mean, there's nothing he can't do to take care of us. And that's why I just want to love on them. And if there's anyone that has anything they'd like to throw in the mix this evening, feel free. Lines are wide open. I just want to let you know that you can trust them. You can love on them. You don't have to worry. It's all about him, putting him first in everything that you do. And he will show you his wisdom and his knowledge and his and the love of God, and it will make you, no matter what you do, I don't care what you're doing. If you love God, all that other things, those other distractions in your life are going to fall off. Some are going to be harder than others because old habits are hard to break. But if you trust God and believe and just keep loving on him and loving on others, he will mold you in a way that only he can do, and others can only recognize and know that that's God and not another man or a woman. Because another man cannot change another man, and another woman cannot change another man or another woman. God does the changing. God does the molding. We're potters. We're clay on his potter wheel, and he's moving that thing around and has his hands on your life, and he's shaping you into this vessel that he wants to create, because he is the master creator. He created this world in 7 days. So truly, he can create anything. So once he's done, which he's not going to be done until we're perfected, and that is when we're in his face. And can no one even see his face truly? But when we're in his presence and we're praising him, then our bodies will be perfected. No pain, no worrying, no fear, no none of these vices that Satan uses to keep us held hostage. Okay, and that's all fear is, that's all worrying is, that's all jealousy is, that's all envy is, that's all wrath is, that's all malice is, that's all these things, gossip that Camila's going to be talking about next time, that all these things that Satan uses to keep us from reaching our potential. We are great people. We are royalty. So there's nothing that can stop us from being who we are. And there's a word out there that says that what you talk about or you think about is what you become. When you're thinking about godly things all the time, you become godly. Okay? When you're thinking about, you know, things that are of love and of faith and of gentleness and things that encourage and build up and lift up and feed the hungry and clothe the naked and heal the sick, doing things like, you know, great things that help the masses in a large way, It doesn't matter if it's small. God loves it all because we all need it, because there's a hurting people out here. And tonight, right now, tonight on this phone, I know there are children of God listening right now, knowing that they're hurting because, you know, they're either, you know, fearful of something or worrying about something or not understanding a situation that's in their lives that God is, you know, not dragging you through, but, you know, sort of guiding you through. Because God is always with you, even when you feel you're all alone. He's always there. There's this photo. I know that y'all have seen it out there, and it's big because it's in a lot of houses when there's these footsteps in the sand. And first it starts off as two, and then it's one, okay? And then you'll see two again. And then they look back. The person looks back and says, hey, why is there only one pair of footprints in the sand? And this is, he was talking to the Lord, and the Lord told him that, hey, this is where I was carrying you because you were going through a difficult time, you see. And that's what we want him to do. We want him to carry us. We want him to protect us, keep his wing of protection around us. We want him to love on us constantly, you know, and chastise us as well when we are getting off track, because we all do it. It doesn't happen. We don't do it on purpose. It just happens, you see, because, these principalities out there and demonic spirits and Satan and all his trenchmen and henchmen, you know, they know the word just as well as we do, or I can say as an angel, you know, and they use that to try to keep us confused or against God, turned away from God, okay? And if anyone, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's no one on the phone, but if there is, you know, because that's what an atheist is. Theist means God, and if you put an A in front of that, that means against God. Anything with an A in front of, you know, it's like antisocial, you know, atheist. You know, I'm against God. We are children of God, so we are a theist because we love God. But an atheist doesn't believe in God. They believe in however, whatever else is out there. I don't know what they believe, but they don't believe in God. But an atheist will allow you to pray for them. That's funny, you know. That's real, because even though they don't believe, they still acknowledge. Okay, there's a higher power. You know, they just don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ to know that it's God, the true living God. Okay? And that's what we're to do as men. That's why I do know that, you know, we have nothing to be afraid of. We just let an individual know, or another child of God out there, that you can, you know, just speak a word into their life and just plant good seed, you know, because in Psalms 1:1, it says, blessed is the man because he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. You see, you know, that's what all of our children of God are. We're trees, you know, which is strong, one of the strongest plants that God created, okay, because it takes a day to make a mushroom, but it takes... Oh, God, Lord, help me. It takes 100 years to make an oak tree, you see, and that's just God's timing. And he's like a tree planted by streams of water. That water is God's living water, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ that yields its fruit in its season. We are the tree, so our fruit comes in its season, and its leaf does not wither because it's by that living water. And all that he does, he prospers. All that we do, a children of God, we will prosper. And then it says the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Now, if you look at the word chaff is like, Lord help me, it's like the wheat that they put into the storehouse, and they get these winnowing forks, and they sift that wheat, and the wheat is thrown in the air. And the reason why it's thrown in the air, because the heavy wheat falls back to the ground, and there's this hull that's around the wheat. It's called chaff. and the chaff will come off that wheat when the wind hits it right and it blows it in the air, and the wheat falls back to the ground. And the wheat they bring into the storehouse, and the chaff they burn. And that's what chaff is. It's like chaff is sinners who are not acknowledging Jesus Christ, because they will burn in hell. And that's where they are alluding to. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So there you have. That's why it's always good, and it's, you know, it's always good and pleasant to know that you're a child of God. And if you have any doubt in your heart that you're not, we can help with that, because after every show here, we do a prayer of salvation. And the prayer of salvation is simply just acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and knowing that he died for your sins, and you believe in him. And I mean, you will experience a peaceful living, you must get into God's word and find out. Just start reading God's word. Good reads you can start if you're married in Ephesians. If you're single, in Ephesians. It doesn't matter. Just start somewhere to really get to know God. Start in John and get to know Jesus Christ, because that's what, you know, if we, back in the day when they had WWJD, what would Jesus do? You see, we are to model his life. And we're not going to get it right, because he was perfect. And that's why I can't even imagine what that feels like, you see, because I know I've done things that, you know, oh, Lord, that I can't take back, that they're done, you know, and I'm forgiven of those, because he, the blood of the Lamb that he shed, forgives me for those. So now I don't even want to entertain those things again, because they don't work for me, and I can't serve two masters. So that's why we pray the prayer of salvation, to really get an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and know that he is the reason for the season, and he will just change your life. And then when you do that, make sure you join a church and be around like believers that are preaching Bible-based church, and they're studying God's word. Okay, and then once you found that church home, then you want to become water baptized. Okay, the reason for the water baptismal is because you got to be dipped in the water so that you can, the body can feel the transformation that will happen to you once you come out of that water. And it's symbolic to being reborn. You see, by accepting Christ, you are baptized in the Spirit, but it is through water baptism that you show your obedience to the Lord. And truly, it's just a symbol of your salvation from the dead. You were dead, but now when you dip in that water and come back out, you are alive, for the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed you for a price. And that price was his death on the cross. And I would like to open up the phone line for any questions, any comments. We have about 10 more minutes, 9 more minutes on the show. And if you have any questions, any comments, any remarks, or anything about what we were talking about tonight, I would love to hear you.
Yes, this is Dr. McClellan, and you all spoke on fear and worry. And I know a little bit about fear, and I know a little bit about God sent me into a place on a job. He sent me to this job, and I tell you, fear gripped me like a pair of vice grips, because these people was mean and hateful and all of this. But God sent me into this place, and I began to come home, and I began to pray to God, and I said, Lord, why you send me in this place? These people are, man, they're wicked. And God said, I want you to pray for them. And fear began to try and grip me. And I told God, I said, Lord, you want me to pray for him? And they do. He said, I want you to pray for him. If you don't, it's going to be a problem between me and you. I said, Lord, I do whatever you say.
Amen.
And God began to help me, even though fear and word tried to grip me all at the same time. I still did what God said to do with his help. He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the Comforter to help me, because I was weak at the time. But I told him, Lord, if you help me, I'll do whatever you say. He said, all I want you to do, he said, pray for them, and I began to work with them. I began to pray for them and keep praying for them. I kept praying for them, and God began to do a work until finally they began to speak of Jesus Christ. And I was like, wow, Lord, you have done a work in these people's lives. But fear will grip you like a fire. But if you just trust in God, he will deliver you. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer.
Amen.
Humble yourself. And thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when we begin to pray and seek God, God will begin to reveal to you the things that he has for you. And he will begin to deliver you from the captivity of fear, worry, any of those things that try and grip you. He will deliver you if you humble yourself before God. And verse 7 says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You won't even understand what he's doing sometimes. The peace of God will surpass all understanding. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then you can keep your mind on Christ. As long as you keep your mind on Christ, fear or worry cannot grip you. It cannot grip you at all. Keep your mind on Christ. Get you out. Tell people I ride around in my car with my scriptures on CD. So that way I can keep my mind on Christ. So fear and worry and any other thing that try to take me in captivity can't grip me. So I just want to share that with everyone that's listening. So if fear or worry try to grip you, know that it's not from God, and you can pray to God, and God will relieve you of anything that tries to grip you. That is not anything that's not of God. And I just want everybody to know that, because God is a good God, and he will deliver you out of all things if you keep your mind and your eyes on him.
Amen. Amen. And she hit it right on the nail with that scripture, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I think that sums that up perfectly about being anxious, anxiety, worry. It says it. Everything that we talked about tonight, we could have summed up everything with Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Because when anxious thoughts, fear, panic, or worry come against you, you present your request to God, pray and petition him, and as you do, his peace, which goes beyond understanding, will guide your hearts and mind in Christ. And this is more than just a recommendation for me. It's a truth that can transform a fearful mind into a mind of peace.
Amen.
Yes, sir. So I think we have about four more minutes. If there's anyone who'd like to comment before we pray the prayer of salvation. And then I'll close with all the contact information that we would like, if you'd like to contact me. And stay in touch and just pray. What I'd like to do, I'm getting ready to put together pretty much an agenda for our next shows that we talk about, so that we'll have a sort of an order. And we can talk about things in a more orderly manner, and that way, it will perpetuate other things to come as well, because we do know God hears you, you know, and he really understands, and we pray and pray, and we seem like nothing changes, but I do know God does hear our prayers, and that's why it's good to know that when you're worried about something or you're fearing about something, ask someone to pray for you. Call me up. Call Kanita up. Call another saint up on this line. And just call them and say, hey, pray for me right now. I'm going through something. They might not even go know what you're going through, but they'll hit it right on the head through prayer. My sister does that for me all the time. I mean, she'll be praying, and she'll go down your street. That's what they call going down your street, when they're talking about something that you know you're going through, and it hits and it fits because God knows it. And then when you hear someone say it, that's confirmation. And then when he demonstrates it to you, that's just, you just really hear from God. You even throw your hands up in the air because God is slowly sending angels around you to keep you either safe from someone or confirming something that you should be moving forward to. You see. So.
Amen. Hello? Maybe having some technical difficulties. Hello?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I tell you, I thank you for sharing. I tell you, that scripture did, it just summed it up for me too, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and it just kind of wrapped up the whole program from worry to fear in a nutshell. And I just love the power of God's word that goes forth. When it's going forth, it just solidifies who he is. It just lets us know that the power of God is mighty through his word, and it does speak, and it is alive, and it is breathing, as the scripture tell us. And boy, I tell you, it can clean a man from the inside out. If he's willing to want to be cleaned. And you have to have a willingness to want to run to the Lord. And, you know, I did want to say that sometimes when we go through our valley lows with worry, fear, or whatever the struggle may be, say it be fear, God can use that fear to run us toward him, just as you shared with us concerning that job. And he allowed that bit of fear that you had concerning that particular job, and he got glory out of that.
That's right.
Because you prayed and you glorified him with what you saw and how they became praisers of the Lord, or confessing the Lord as being God. You know, it just spewed out of their mouth.
Amen.
So he can take one seed and plant you in that job, and he water all the rest. And who
Amen.
Knows how many other seeds have been planted prior to you coming.
Amen. Amen.
So he needed you. So I just, that is a beautiful picture that you illustrated through your personal experience on how God can use a person such as yourself in order to bring about a change for
Amen.
His glory. Wow. Amen. He did it with Jesus, and now mm-hmm. he used you, Doc. And that is just awesome to be a willing vessel and an obedient one when you expressed, okay, I'll do whatever you say.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. That really spoke to me, and I hope you don't mind me sharing that with other people.
Oh,
my circle at work on how I heard. And I just love that testimony.
Amen. I want it to be shared because people are fearful when they go to jobs, when God sending you out. Sometimes people, fear will come upon you. But if you pray to God and tell him, Lord, I'm willing, he will direct your path. I'm telling you, I know he did it for me, and I know he'll do it for others. Because God wants, like you said, he wants to get the glory, and he will get it as long as you're obedient and do his will.
Amen. Well, hello, Carl Fred.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, Dr. Hunter.
Yes,
good evening.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
This brings us this brings us to the close of a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful program tonight. I tell you, if it had not been for the Lord, where would we be? Where would we be?
Amen.
And
well, I'll send you a text. Did you get that text?
I'm not sure.
Well, the brother from Child of God did a great job tonight in making his acclamation of what God can if we would just trust God, especially men. And I don't see him on the line. He must have hung up. No, he's on the line. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to thank God for the work that y'all have done. And I said, well, Lord, I want to just dedicate 30 more minutes to y'all if y'all want it. Y'all got 30 additional minutes if you want it.
Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. I tell you. Yes. What were you saying, Doctor?
I said I'm dedicating 30 additional minutes to the program, called Heart to Heart and Child of God.
All right.
Y'all bless
well,
you all tonight.
Amen. Amen. And I know that when the word goes forth, that hearts will be transformed. I believe it by faith. I don't have to see it, but I believe it. And I just know that there are those out there who are continuing to listen to this program tonight concerning worry and fear, excuse me, worry and fear, overcoming fear, and why men worry, why women worry, why we worry as a body of people. And I believe that God wants to show us the man in the mirror, and he wants us to look at ourselves, to see ourselves the way that we are. And when we look at ourselves, he wants us to see that something's not right. Something is not right, and he's waiting for us to surrender it to him. He makes us right, and Carl Fred said it real nicely this evening concerning that we are not of ourselves. We can't fix our problems, but there is a heart regulator. There is a battle. God is our battle axe. He is our armor that we go into battle. He's our helmet, our sword of the Spirit. He's our readiness with sure-footedness, our shoes and our gird us up with the belt and the breastplate. He wraps us up tight so that we can stand against the fiery darts of the enemy. And when we're ready for battle, now, I'm not saying physical battle, going in there ready to fight with a Smith & Wesson and a sawed-off shotgun. I'm saying when we are ready for battle, spiritual battle, because the weapons of our warfare. Yes, we know that we are fighting demonic spirits.
Amen. You hear me?
So we want to continue to gird ourselves up in righteousness through his word so that the darts that come against us will not overtake us.
Amen.
And who showed us that very plainly in Scripture? Saul did not want to go against the giant Goliath.
Amen.
For fear or inadequacy, he did not want to go against Goliath. But it took a little shepherd boy with courage, with faith and a heart after God, and he went into battle. And God used that boy to knock that mountain flat on his back.
Amen.
Because of the measure of faith he had, it moved that mountain right on out the way. So we've got to remember that you may not think you can overcome worry or overcome fear, but yes, you can. Don't take that fake dollar bill from Satan allowing you to believe that you can't. Come on now. When you want to no longer struggle with fear or worry or anxiety or any of these things that keep you locked up in the mind, the Bible tells us to renew our mind, have a transformed mind, a mind that seeks after God, a hunger that thirsts and hungers after God. He is the living water. He is the bread of life. So become a fat Christian in the Word of God. Become an overweight Christian, if you will, in the Word of God, not physical food, spiritual food. So the more we eat of Him, we will never be in lack. He is not a God that lies. And He makes provisions in every which way. He opens up the windows of heaven, and He pours us out a blessing. How does He pour it out? Good measure. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And then what happens after that? It's running over. Too much for us to contain. Now, this is a family that receives these blessings called believers. And I encourage you to grab a hold of His hand tonight, today. This is the day, today, not tomorrow, right now. Right now. He's listening for you. Call out His name. Call on the name of Jesus. Just call His name, Jesus. Jesus. And He will set you free. He will set you free. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Don't do anything that will hinder you from being saved. Call on the name of Jesus and believe by faith. He died on that cross for you, brother. He died on that cross for you, sister. Call on Him today and surrender it all to Him.
Hallelujah,
and He will deliver you from prostitution. He will deliver you from drug addiction. He will deliver you from alcoholism. He will deliver you from anxiety, from worry, from fear. He will deliver you from everything that seems to have you locked up in the mind.
But God,
He will
Hallelujah.
Heal your pain. Laying on your sick bed, racked with pain. Let Him touch you. Let Him deliver you. Let Him allow you to walk again. Just believe by faith. The woman with the issue of blood pressed her way. Press, brother. Press, sister. And know that if you just surrender your hands as an illustration of touching the hem of His garment, you will be made whole. Surrender it to Him. Come on now. Don't hesitate.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I
this is the day that the Lord has made. Go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
No, I just want to let you know, tonight we're experiencing something that is, I'm going to say it this way, it's God moving on us tonight while the brother from Monroe, Louisiana, we're now on Skype talking while we're on the radio.
Yes.
We're discriminating what God is doing for us and what you see. All tonight was a great, I tell you, I sit back and I listen, but I'm quiet listening. And I like to drink that good water, that cold, fresh water, that water that brings me to a point to say, Lord, without you, I cannot make it. And I want to thank both of y'all tonight and all those on the, you had 17 live people on the line with you. I haven't looked at the stats, but I believe what we're doing is going to be better for the next time around. Because the time has come for us to take and do what God said for us to do. Can't look back. Can't start complaining. Can't start looking down. Got to start looking up. Got to start believing. Got to see what God can do. Now, here I am right now. I'm on this phone right now. I'm waving your hand at you. I'm all hello there. See my hand? 1, 2, 3. I am sitting here with my right hand. You got showed up here. You can see it. If you can see it, ta-da. You see this hand, my whole right side, the devil came in attack. But God left me here for a reason.
Hallelujah.
And my reason is it ain't about Willie Hunter. It's about God.
Amen.
If I can reach the unreach and tell the untold, that's what I want to do. And that's why I'm pressing in. I'm pressing in. And some of the, hallelujah, some of the things that we're getting ready to do with this radio station, the TV station, it's getting ready to call the enemy to get all crazy.
Amen.
I want y'all to know this much. I want you to know this much. I want to know this here. I want to know this here. Ain't nothing they can do. Ain't nothing they can do. Ain't nothing they can do. Because God is our author. He is the creator of everything. And God has it so beautiful for us. And God is raising up. See, back in the day, as we would say, back in the day, God has raised us up to a dead level, perpendicular to the square, where we are right now. It's up to us to keep the press going because we don't know when our time has come to a close. But somebody can pick up. Don't let the baton hit the ground. Keep running with it. Keep running with it. I learned this from military. When you're charging, whoever falls, keep charging until the last man standing. When you fought the good fight, it means you laid down all you have. And what God is looking for us to fight the fight, because when we leave from this physical body, we're going to be transformed to a new body that's lacking under him. But while we're in this earth realm, I'm not worried about what's happening in the northeastern part of California, the northeastern part of America, what's happening with the coldness. I'm interested in how many souls are getting saved. I've been on the prayer in my closet today, Lord, somebody needs to be saved today. Somebody needs to call upon your name. Somebody needs a healing. Somebody needs a job. And when you take notice of what's going on in America, it behooves us. We have to pay close attention to the ways, to the sounds, and to one of all, when the horn is blowing. When we hear that horn, that the chauffeur, when it's blowing, we know that he's coming from the Middle East. When he blows that horn, he's coming out of the East. And we must keep our eyes upon him. We must pray for Israel because we are Israel. We must pray for Israel because they are the ones that God had ordained in the beginning. But Jesus came and said, one new creation. And that's why the same thing, and the more I study God's word, the more I ask God interpretation of his word, the deeper I get, the better I get. And sometimes it's, I get off into a trance with God, as if though God is walking right with me and talking. I was just studying that on the line, on the radio, just talking, how God used his son. His son had the ability to foretell. He knew man's heart. He had the power to speak life. God used his son. God want to use us. Jesus said, greater things can you do than these, because I am going to be with the Father. I can't look back on what I've seen. I got to look always upward. But I want to tell the brother from child of God, you blessed my heart tonight. I sit down and took me a knife, start cut. I didn't need to cut. I pick a spoon, so you got it right. It was like it was soup on top of soup, but it was so good in what you were saying about the word of God. And see, I know the true word, the Bible word, and that's what you put out tonight. When you talk about the shucking, moving the chaff from the wheat in the chair, that's saying something. You done studied the word, brother. You know the word. And you got it planted in you. I have so much to say, but I'm just going to keep my mouth shut because I'm in much prayer. I'm so happy tonight. I thank God. So thank God for y'all.
Amen.
Amen. See how God has set this up?
Amen.
See how God has set this up? That's the kind of God we serve.
Amen.
We got a cell phone. I got a computer here. Plus, I got another way of talking to somebody else that listen to me. I said, this, wow. What's, and the little boy said, what's next, Lord? Well, the Lord said, you really want to see it? All I want to see is the best it is. And I know this much. Good set for God. That's an awesome God.
Amen.
He's an eternal God. He loves us. And God so loves us. And I'm just going to cheer up because I gave you a time. I want to take the time I gave y'all. Y'all be, I want to listen more. Go ahead.
I'm just excited to be a part of this and really want to just be more involved and more just diligent, more responsive, more knowledgeable, so that because you don't know who's listening.
You don't.
And we're here to just try to encourage, try to just share our own testimony.
Right.
To let them know that we're all going through. There's not no one here who is not struggling with something.
I'm struggling with something. No one, no one. That's it.
Either it's a health issue or a habit or a worry or a fear or something. And
right.
That's why we ought to turn to the Word and just and let God take care of that for us. But like I said, it's a faith walk. When we're just so either out of control and unsure, or we're not used to letting go of that control. You see, but when you're with God, you don't even need control. You just let Him just take it and do what He does best. Because He's the Word.
He's the Word.
When He created these words that we use. that's why I said these words can either tear people down or they can build people up.
They can.
And that's why our words that we want to use on our show should be there to lift up, encourage. Empower, praise God's name, sing songs, and just let people know that, hey, at the end of the day, God's word will still reign supreme.
It will still reign supreme.
Amen.
Amen. And one of the things I would say also as I was been doing my meditating, praying to God, and I just said, Lord, the word said, look unto Jesus, who is the author, who is the author, who is the author, and the finisher,
and the finisher.
And the finisher. He authorized, he's the author. And the more I began to meditate on that, I said, this is deep, Lord. He says, everything with God is not deep, but it's simple. It's not deep. It's simple. God keeps speaking to our heart. I mean, he said, he knew the man's heart. And he said, these people have been following them for a whole day and a half. 5,000 people. They knew where the word came from. And Jesus knew the hearts of men. See, he knew the hearts of men. And he said, how are we going to feed them? And one of the apostles told him, I said, wait a minute, Lord. Hold on, Lord. Wait, hold it right now. We got 5,000 people to feed, and we got $50 worth of money to buy bread, and you talking about feed me? And he turned and heard the Lord say to one of the disciples, said, we have a lad that's here with us. He got two fish and one barley piece of bread. He said, give it to me first. I'm amplifying. God wants us to give what we have to him first. And God will bless it. He lifted up to heaven. He had the men sitting down. Hey, I see you, brother. Well, that's God. And God sees. All right. But God said, He said these words. He said he lifted bread to heaven. He gave God the thanks. And look what God did. God took that piece of bread and five fish and fed 5,000 people. And you read the scripture, it says, well, we have never seen it like this before in our lives.
That's right.
Here Jesus is nothing but the life. Nothing but the life. He says to the brother, he says, okay. He says, because that, he said, go pick up all, he said, go get to, you ready? 5,000 barrels of what they had eaten. And they picked it up, five big bins full of food. And God is saying to us, the more we trust in him, the more he's going to feed us.
That's right.
The more he feed us. See, but that, see, this is a blessing. Here we are. Are you there, Carnitia? Carnitia?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Carnitia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
She said she's here. Aren't we having a good time?
Amen. Oh, yeah.
I have that proposal and stuff, and that's why I wanted to make sure everything was dressed right,
we're ready to go. All right.
And, I got your information, and that's why I said that once I put the logos and stuff together, I'll shoot those over to you.
Okay.
It just took me a little time.
I'm in no rush. See, one thing I always learned from a country boy, you never rush because the sun is going to rise and fall.
When it comes, it's going to be nice. I believe it.
I'm sorry, sister. We just made it. We just, me and your brother, like, we just lived too boring. We just having fun. My head is bald, his bald, too.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I got a little gray on mine. I got a little gray.
Oh, yeah.
But let's go ahead and close the program, Michael. We don't people
hey,
in there going to tell people. Go ahead, Carnitia.
Okay. Father God, we just exalt you and we just thank you for a wonderful time tonight. We thank you for allowing us to just experience you tonight in this hour of prayer and sharing and these hours of allowing your word to go forth for somebody tonight to have heard from you through your word, through your earthen vessels, Father God, that you use, Dr. Hunter, Carl Fred, myself, and so many others who called in tonight and shared, Father God, the very word that breathes and speaks, Father God, it's alive. You are alive. And we just are so ever grateful for you allowing us to be a part of your purpose, your plan, Father God, and so many others out there that are hungry right now, Father God, that want to be a part of your family. And we just welcome you. We encourage you to surrender your hands up to him as they offer them to him. Give him a hand clap of praise. Allow it to be a sweet aroma to his nostrils. Just tell him thank you. Tell him how much you love him, that he will give you the very things that you need. And we just thank you for your gifts, Lord. Father God, continue to increase this ministry, dear Lord. Allow the vision to go forth in an abundance, Father God, using your vessel, Dr. Hunter, to carry out your plan and your purpose for this ministry, Father God, and others to follow along and co-labor beside him, dear Lord. The body works together, dear Lord, and we just thank you for what you're doing and what you've already done in our lives, dear Lord, and what you are about to do. Father God, you are a big God, and your word is big. Father God, and so much has to take place in order for the proclamation of the word to go forth so that others can come into the fold, dear Lord. We know that the wheat is separated from the chaff, Lord, and we are a part of the wheat because we are the good portion. Father God, We know that the chaff flies in the wind, dear Lord, and we want those to not lose their lives, Father God, so that they will come to know you in the pardoning of their sins. Father God, we just, you know, we exalt you right now in the name of Jesus, and we pray that the continuance of your word continues to go forth in Jesus' holy and righteous and matchless name. We pray this time, this hour, this program, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And I always say, remember, I love you.
I love you too.
Ain't nothing you can do about it. Until next time, the Lord bless you. All right.
Good night.